26 years you were with Ford in many different roles. You were appointed as general marketing manager for the Lincoln Mercury division. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I had made a change in, I was in finance. And I was in finance for about 9 years. And as I had inferred earlier, people would come to me to, especially the marketing people, would come to me to price out different programs that they wanted to put in place. You know, they might be incentive programs, they might be travel programs, you know, contests for dealers, and whatever they brought, I had to cost them out. And then the company, then it went up for approval, valuation and approval. Well, I got, every time they came to me with these things, I could see things that, why don't you change this? Why don't you do this? And the marketing guys, oh, that's a good idea. That's good. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a catcher. I want to be a pitcher. I can do what these guys are doing better than they are. So I wanted a change in, from finance to marketing. And I went to my boss and I said, here's what I'd like to do. And they were good enough to find me a place in at Ford headquarters in a marketing group that was extremely helpful. I was with a bunch of young guys, and we went all over the world doing an overseas market strategy study for the company. That was extremely well received from Henry II. When he got it, he said, he wrote on it, a breath of fresh air. You know, that's like being kissed on the cheek. You know, and then from there, I went to the Ford division, which was the big horse in of the divisions, and was in marketing plans there for light trucks. And during that time, we ended up coming up with a strategy and implementing. And I didn't, you know, this wasn't just myself. This was getting together the sales guy, the product planner, the engineers, and saying, how can we compete better with General Motors? And up to that time, the way that you built a car was General Motors was the leader. They put a price on their car. So you had to put a price on your car, and you had to, what you did is you'd buy their cars and you'd tear them down and figure out how much they were spending on each bolt and washer and, you know, the structure for the seat, et cetera, et cetera. And then you would come in and you'd match them. So you try to put the same cost in so that you would get the same kind of profit margin. What we concluded in looking at Chevrolet's trucks is that at that time, their volume of owner body was so large that just the normal people coming in, who the loyalty factor that each company had, we were never going to catch them. It'd be mathematically impossible. So what we had to do is something quite different. And what we ended up doing is saying, we're going to change the way we're planning to build our car. And what we're going to do is we're going to put $50 more content into the car and price for it. But it'll give us, you know, something that the other guys don't have. So we started to put in and plan car features, people features into trucks. And what happened at that time, for the same price that you could buy a Ford Falcon, for example, or a Chevy 2, you could go in and buy a Ford F-150 for like $2,000 less. But now the Ford truck has got people features. It's comfortable. It's not a farm vehicle anymore. And what happened is there was a migration of new people, not people who were Ford or Chevy truck buyers, but people who were maybe Chevy car buyers who said, this is a great value. And all of this switch of car buyers into trucks just gave us and negated the owner loyalty factor that Chevrolet had. And we took over truck leadership at that time in 1957. And Ford hasn't lost it yet.